Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:06 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy,
Sasquatch,
the Yeti, 6 foot six, 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV. As the host of Larry's Garden, you've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045. 340-1045. And if you're calling from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay.
Pittsburgh. I wonder how that got to my mind.
I wonder how
mind.
That's going to go. Yeah, yeah.
If you're calling from Pittsburgh, 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yes.
The three things I'd like to share with you this morning, three though
things.
Being brief about
all
them,
right.
Are these.
How did I guess that?
Floor is breathing.
Yeah.
Cold CFLs, and the home inspector missed it.
The home inspector missed it. Okay.
Well, we're starting with number one. The floor is breathing. The majority of houses around our area are built on a concrete slab.
Mm-hmm.
Concrete slab is laying in moist ground. And concrete, as you know, is very water absorbent. It's like a really hard sponge.
Porous is the word for that.
So in nature, in physics, gravity works high to low, things fall, temperature hot to cold, and moisture goes from wet to dry.
Yes.
We know that.
Okay.
So what happens is we have this slab that's laying in the moist ground, and then we air condition and otherwise condition the home air, so it's drier inside than it is outside. So water says, hey, look, a dry place, I can go there.
Right.
So our floors are always effervescing, kind of breathing into the conditioned space, unless we do something to stop it. Now, most of the time, it's of no problem. It's how the system works together.
Right.
I was in two places last week troubleshooting buckled flooring or flooring with mold on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the culprit turned out to be was in both cases, the people had put something that retarded vapor flow on top of it. So in one case, it was plastic storage containers.
Yes.
They were nice, low profile flat ones. They slid them all under the bed. And when they went to change out the bed and they moved those containers, the floor was moldy underneath of it.
Yes.
That occurs because that vapor barrier, that plastic container, is causing the condensation.
There's less air circulation there.
That's it. It's condensation, actually.
Right.
Doesn't dry out. It's on the wood floor, which is cellulose containing, and you get mold.
Right.
So nothing was broken. They just changed the way the system performed.
Right.
In the other case, family had a gorgeous, gorgeous workout room.
Mm-hmm.
Had wood floors again, all with custom inlays in it. It was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And so not to damage the floor, they put down those little spongy rubber workout mats that fit together like puzzle pieces.
Right.
You see them a lot in kids' romper rooms.
Mm-hmm.
They put those down, and everything looked gorgeous until they decided to move some equipment around, move the mats around, and the wood was buckled underneath of it. Here's the story. Here's the reminder. Do not put things directly on your floors. And I've even seen mold under carpet on this. It just doesn't happen as much.
Right.
The floor needs to breathe. It's especially important with wood, but any floor, especially on concrete slab, needs to be able to breathe into the room so you don't get moisture condensation and then mold.
Excluding,
let your floors breathe.
Places with crawl spaces.
Crawl spaces
less
can...
less probability.
It's
mine don't do that.
It's a different dynamic.
Right.
If you put a vapor barrier on top of your wood floors, you run the risk of it occurring.
things, and they've never done that.
Well, you're in good fortune.
Okay.
So we don't want to judge by the outliers and have people do things that cause problem and blame you.
Yeah.
All right. Cold CFLs. As you know, I am a fanatic, a frugal fanatic about saving money on things around my house, in particular energy. I've transitioned years ago to all compact fluorescent light bulbs and or LEDs, and I have compact fluorescents on the outside. The compact fluorescent lights, and you may have noticed this in the cold, they don't do well in cold.
Yeah.
And by not do well, it takes them time to warm up.
Yeah.
And gosh, I went to take out that trash the other morning when it was super cold, flipped on the outside lights, went out, it was still dark, it came back in, checked the switch again.
It was kind of a yellow color.
It didn't come on at all. It took a while for it to get that glow.
Not crank it up.
So, you know that that's a limiter, and don't let it frustrate you. It just occurs. If it does concern you, all you need to do is change them out to LEDs. They're instantaneous response. So it's the reason there's no
LEDs
CFLs.
LEDs are great.
They've gotten inexpensive. I'm a big fan.
They got cheap. Yeah.
That's the reason there's no CFLs in your refrigerator.
Yeah.
They just don't perform in the cold. And the last thing is the home inspector missed it. As you know, I've become very involved in advancement of home warranties for RWS warranty, 18-month warranty. And I'm learning lots and lots of things about it. I thought I knew a lot before. I know more now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the things, and this happens regardless of what the warranty company is. So a person has something go wrong in their home. They call the warranty company and say, I need to have you repair or replace my dishwasher because the home inspector missed it. And the warranty company then, that's their get out of jail free. You see, if somebody else missed it, that means it was a pre-existing condition, so they're not going to pay.
Right.
So, and people have this, it's sort of a natural thing. They have to assign why something's wrong.
Well, who they assign the blame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was missed, and they think that enhances the process when actually it eliminates the claim.
Right.
So, and if the home inspector missed something, they missed something, that's fine. Take that up with the home inspector, not with the warranty company. Because what happens is the home inspector didn't miss it, and you made that on your claim. That's your pronouncement. The home inspector missed it. I want you to pay.
Right.
Now you've got yourself where nobody's going to pay you because you've told the warranty company one thing, and then the home inspector says, wait a minute, here it is in the home inspection report. It wasn't missed, which would have been the item that substantiated your claim.
Yes.
So it's important when you have things go wrong, especially on that first...
Don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah. Make contact with your home inspector. Make contact with your warranty company to learn how to navigate that process so you don't inadvertently... deny yourself reasonable payment.
Right.
So, what's on your mind, Dog Breath?
Well, Tiny Tim, we're going to think about with the cold damage. You know, a lot of plants got damaged from the cold. The gingers, you know, alpina gingers, ferns, a lot of plants, grass, some areas that were damaged, in our area severely, some mildly. Because it was a great change in temperature. You know, like 2 weeks ago, we were at 80, and then all of a sudden it dropped into the 30s. That always causes difficulty.
Does the speed of the drop impact the plant?
Yeah, the speed of the drop is effects. Plants don't have time to reacclimate, release their natural protectors.
Get their socks, sweaters, and scarves on?
Right. Yeah, they release hormones. They drop down, they draw down their sap. All kinds of things go on. Well, the best thing to do, remember, when we have cold is continuing water. Because, you know, it doesn't rain as much during the winter, and you got to make sure you're watering your grass. If we have a cold spell and your grass is not watered, it's going to be extremely stressful. And if we have an extended cold spell and your grass is not watered, you're going to have some winter kill.
Yep.
So continue watering your grass. And the next thing about all the burned down leaves and foliage, you know, normally you leave those in place until the spring. But it's somewhat unsightly. You know, you could trim them up like a fire bush is one of our native plants was pretty badly damaged by this cold. Trim down, you know, halfway. But leaving some of the dead foliage on the plants protects the base of the plant, especially tropicals. You know, it does make it warmer. Just when I was looking at...
like an insulation, so to speak.
An insulation. I was looking at frost damage on ferns, and it was amazing. In the middle of the ferns, it was very, very burned. But along the sidewalk, the plants were still green. It's that 1 or 2 degrees where the sidewalk was radiating heat.
Yeah.
Well, Well, the same thing is that when that the foliage is laying on the plants, it's holding down that warm soil temperature in there, because the soil temperature gets around 50, stays around 50, so it radiates back into the in the air, and you hold that temperature around there. So on tropical plants and plants that are damaged, leave as much as you can of the dead foliage and then clean up. I know it's unsightly. You know, a lot of people want to go out and clean it, but leave that in place. Continue to water in your grass. You know, of course, the mowing is not an issue. And if you don't like the brown look on the grass, if your grass got damaged, St. Augustine, go to your local hardware store or Home Depot or Lowe's and get a bag of ryegrass and broadcast that out there. But you're going to be mowing, and that will take that will cover that, that issue up. Some of the things you could do during your landscape, and this time it's cool, it's comfortable, is to look at your flower beds again, and then so if you're recutting them and reshaping them, you know, from the errant mistakes. And then when you do that, when you cut and remove some of the old, the new sod or the old sod.
Can you cut and transplant sod this time of year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No
yeah.
problem.
And you could, it's a great time to transplant plants. If you're thinking about moving shrubbery, this is the perfect time. They're really, when they're dormant like this, they move easily. They're not under any heat stress. Then trimming some of that grass out, save some of that grass and use that in the spots that are dead or they're not doing well, just transplant it in there. And then thinking about taking care of your flower beds for the next 6 months of growth, go, you know, get some newspaper or cardboard and put that on the ground. You don't have to remove the old mulch. Just you know, put it along the flower beds and the bare spots. And if you're there, you can put some pre-emergent on there and put your mulch out again. And what that's going to create is a physical barrier for the weeds.
If you do the pre-emergent this early in the year,
yeah,
will
well,
it have leached through and, it, and not really be ready in spring?
Some pre-emergents last 6 months.
Oh, really?
6 months, yeah.
Okay.
6 to 4 months, you know. So you could go ahead and put it down right now.
Okay.
Cardboard down and then put the pre-emergent down first.
I guess better too soon
next,
than too late.
And then put the mulch down on top of it. Don't worry about removing the old mulch. Just put it right down on top of it.
Right.
And that will neaten it up and look neat, clean until spring.
Well,
that will really enhance the place.
I harvested my lemons this week.
Oh, yeah? Were they good?
Well, I'm not sure yet.
Uh-huh.
Well, yes, they were good.
Haven't used one yet?
Well, here's what we did with them.
Okay.
And it was a small tree, as you're aware, and we probably got 30 lemons.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So we, I say we, Tanya and her grandmother did this project.
Okay.
That counts as we.
Okay.
Anyway, they zested every one of them,
uh-huh.
put it into a 1-quart mason jar.
Yeah.
Then squeezed the juice of every one. I have one of those big juicing machine things
yeah.
like
mm-hmm.
they use at a carnival, you know, big manual lever one. Mm-hmm. They juiced them all, so they made all lemonade
you
out of that with honey.
In there.
No, well, you're almost right. So with all the juice, they made this wonderful, you know, lemonade with honey, delicious. And then from the zest, we're making limoncello. So here's the deal. There's many different, for the uninitiated, limoncello is essentially vodka infused with the zest of a lemon peel,
right.
and then typically use something to sweeten.
Mm-hmm.
So I made this decision, wanted to do it entirely local.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a St. Augustine vodka. Lemons from my yard, and I've got a buddy that raises bees, and it's honey from his yard.
Okay.
So everything that's in this concoction, when it's done, will be all from right here.
That stuff could be deadly because it tastes sweet. You don't even know that.
Well, the Italians use it to cure indigestion. It's not like you sit and chug it. You sip it. It's very sophisticated. It's 7:20 here at News 104.5. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 7:25 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. And from the lovely hamlet of Mandarin is a lady named Pam, looking for some rosemary assistance. Welcome, Pam. Pam, can you hear us? Last call, Pam. Alrighty, so sorry. Rosemary, beautiful plant.
Yes.
I've got a big bushy one in my yard.
Love
it with chicken. What's the key to keeping the rosemary robust?
The key to keeping rosemary robust is not how over pruning it in the summer, because that really, really doesn't do that.
Dries it out.
No, it would get fungus and die. Normally it dies from overstress. It's one of those plants that you just don't prune in the summer in our area. Then the next thing is, you know, plant it in the driest portion of your yard where it has the least amount of irrigation. It does not like a lot of irrigation or overhead irrigation. And it actually makes a beautiful hedge, a small hedge. Some of the rosemaries can get 5 feet tall.
And it does well in a pot, too.
There's hundreds of varieties of rosemaries. You know, some of them have beautiful flowers, too. Does well in a pot because it's dry. You don't have to really worry about watering it. In fact, if you let it dry out even wilted, it likes that more than over-pruning.
My friend Claire has one that's almost the size of a Christmas tree. It's monstrous.
Yeah, they can get huge. You know, pruning is the winter is the best time to prune them. You know, so if you want to store the leaves, you know, and the stems, you just put them in the freezer.
Yeah. Okie doke. All righty, let's see if we can help George up in Arlington with his Tangelo tree. Welcome, George.
I don't know why they couldn't hear me.
Oh.
Oh, Pam.
Is that you, Pam?
Yeah. Hey, I was listening.
We got the number switched around. Don't worry about it.
All righty. Okay.
Oh, Wally can't see right.
So anyway, did you hear our thoughts on the rosemary, and does that help?
I did. But what's happening, I got one at Christmas, and I put it in a pot, and it looks like it's trying to die from the bottom up.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you what to do. It's what happened is when they're in Christmas, they have those plastic wraps on them, and they get, a lot of times they'll get fungus because that will hold water there. Take a little light solution of bleach and drench the root ball, and also you if you got some fungicide, it means you can't use it right away. You can spray the leaves, but drench the root ball, and that should bring it right back. But don't water it after that. Okay, you know, drench it really well, about a couple teaspoons of bleach per gallon, and then after that you get it really soaked, and then but don't water it again.
So if we use the bleach, I'm not worried about eating it, you know, once it's a little bit of water later.
Yeah.
But if you use a fungicide, how long do you need to wait before it's edible?
The contact sound fungicide, maybe about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You use dithane, you know, you can use that. It's 100% approved.
Hey, Pam, if you decide to bring me any rosemary, don't bring it unless you just use bleach. I don't want any fungicide in my glorious system.
Roger that. Hey, while I've got y'all, I need to tell you, we hate that you've been cut back to 1 hour.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate you, Pam. I'll see you soon.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Bye, ma'am. She's a expert boat varnisher also.
Oh, okay.
Does beautiful work.
Okay.
Boat looks like it's furniture on the outside.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful lady.
Wow.
Very nice lady.
That is beautiful.
All right. Let's see if we can check in with George in Arlington and his Tangelo. Have I got you, George?
Yes, you got me now.
I apologize for the confusion.
No problem. I have about a 5-6 foot Tangelo. It's in the plastic bucket.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondered when I should put that in the ground.
Absolutely no problem to put it in the ground right now. Just you to remember when you're transplanting, you gotta continue watering. So if you watered it, you know, once a week really well, you know, just probably for about 4 minutes, you know, just unrestricted water flow. That means you don't have the spray nozzle on it, and you get
so the cold weather won't hurt it.
Not in Arlington. I mean,
would it be safer to wait until we know we're out of the freeze cycle?
No, I wouldn't worry about
really?
It.
Really?
I wouldn't worry about it. No.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
You know, plant it in a place that's well drained. It likes good drainage, and get some morning sun. You should be best condition.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. I'd be cautious of that. That just scares me.
Oh, don't be worried.
Don't be worried? All right. Well, you know, you go to all the trouble to raise this thing out of
plant. I plant hundreds of those things.
You can replace them easily.
I've never had one die yet.
Folks like me and George, if you know, we've nurtured this thing, if we lose it, we're in bad shape.
I've never had one die yet. The only reason they die is people who don't water them. They think, well, most people think it's cold. It's you don't have to worry about watering. Watering is important.
Okay, keep the water on.
Yeah.
It's 7:30 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 7:35 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. I am Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Along with me here this morning, as always, Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Need Larry during the week? Easy to find all the time online, larrysgarden.com. Got the blog, got the video, frequently asked questions. He also has a telephone, 346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find online, GoHomePro.com. Home inspections, commercial building inspections, 18-month warranty, and other due diligence things you might need, GoHomePro.com or by the telephone, 268-8211. Let's check in with Mike in Ponte Vedra, who has a water intrusion issue at his home. Mike, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I have a concrete slab floor, and there's a wood overlay of sort of composite, I guess it's called engineered plywood, wood floor over the top of that. And I've noticed along the outside wall in a couple of places it appears that there's some water intrusion. There's kind of a milky white surface that's beginning to appear along the wall.
Right.
I'm wondering if you can confirm, is that water intrusion or it might be something else?
Absolutely. It's moisture, water. What we don't know yet is the source. How long have the floors been down?
5 years.
How long has it been that you've noticed it?
A couple of years.
Okay. So that it's systemic as opposed to episodic, meaning it's not just the recent hurricane as an example. Do you have gutters?
Yes.
Good. Do they discharge at least 4 feet away from your house?
They do. In the locations where the intrusion is appearing, they do, yes.
Good, good. Do you have an irrigation system?
Yes, sprinklers.
All right. Are all sprinkler heads outside, meaning away from any bushes? Or are they up in the bushes or behind the bushes?
I'll have to look at that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Usually when we see that little bit of wicking or moisture intrusion at the end on wooden floors, and by the way, it happens on virtually all floors. It's just more noticeable on the wood. It's either the gutter, the discharge off of the roof or the irrigation system. The third thing is occasionally the slope of your drainage. But I would give a good check first to make sure there's no irrigation back there. If there is, put a little cap on it and forget about it. The intention of the bush is to protect your house from the sprinkler, not to retain it. Also, trimming the bushes so that area dries would be good. As it relates to the stain that you're seeing, that won't go away. It might reduce slightly when you reduce the moisture, but any milkiness or cloudiness, damage to the finish or buckling or delamination of the wood, it won't improve it, though you'll stop it from getting worse.
Imagine.
Okay.
All righty?
Most shrubs like ligustrum and viburnum, after they've been established for 4 or 5 years, they don't need irrigation.
I beg people, especially landscapers, don't plant stuff under the eave. Get it outside of the drip line. So if we get it outside of the drip line, one, it's going to get rain on it, and your gutters will be working, and you won't need your irrigation there. It just makes the home fresher and drier.
Foundation plantings came along to save the house, because what happens is that the material, like bricks and adobe and clay materials and stucco, were subject to splashing back onto the house.
That's why we have gutters.
And then we put foundation plantings in order to slow down the rate of the water hitting the
house. Well, it's backfired. If we have a gutter.
The irrigation is what is not a foundation planting.
Just put your plants where I ask you to protect our houses, please. All righty, Mike. So, yes, it's definitely moisture intrusion. Check the irrigation. Check the plants to be sure they're not negatively impacting retaining moisture. Live happily ever after. Treat it as a cosmetic and have a beautiful day.
Yeah.
All
absolutely.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Because, you know, you have ligustrum, they don't need irrigation. So a lot of times people are struggling with their ligustrum along their foundation, and they're getting a fungal leaf spot. Just cut the irrigation off. They don't need it. We get 50 inches of rain here and in California where they do thrive and do well. They're doing well on just a minimum amount.
Right.
Walder's viburnum. A lot of these plants, after they get established, you know, for a couple of years, just cap it and see what happens.
Yeah, I like that
idea. You're
going
to save a lot of water.
I agree with you that if water is cascading off of the roof, hitting the ground, especially bare ground, you get that splashback that brings the mold with it, the dirt with it, rot with it. However,
originally started.
I'll spot you that one.
Oh, okay.
The better long-term solution, especially, you know, when we look historically, when we were making houses out of stone and all the real stone, they were very tolerant of that.
Yeah,
now we build a wood frame house, cover it with this yogurt-looking stucco. They are completely intolerant of mismanagement of moisture. So it's the guttering so it doesn't come down, the bush outside of the drip line so that we have air and breathing space for the house to dry, and keeping the irrigation system outside of the gutter, outside of the gutter, outside of the bush,
right,
and spray back onto the bush if it needs to.
That spraying back on there, you know, will put water on the house normally.
No. If it's if the sprinkler is out toward the lawn, not behind the bush.
Yeah.
So anyway, keep your darn house dry.
Yeah, well, keep your house dry. I agree with you. Just, you know, making sure that you have the right sprinkler.
The first law of home inspection is this. Everything that goes wrong in the home
is water.
Will somehow be due to the mismanagement of moisture. Something rusted, something corroded, right. Something leaked, right. Something got moldy, excess humidity. It's always moisture. That's the reason back in the day before air conditioning, if people had respiratory things and went to Arizona, it was dry. It's the reason. Is that Davis Moffett Air Force Base out there in Arizona or wherever?
Where they
store the old airplanes.
Right.
They don't rust. They just sit there.
I mean, you can drive across Arizona, see a 1930 sedan sitting out in the middle of the desert, still not, still rusted, but still somewhat intact. Yeah.
Well, more than the rust issue out there with cars, I went to some really cool boneyards for cars out in the New Mexico and Arizona before, is that it consumes fabric.
Right.
It just fries it to nothing. It turns practically to dust.
Yeah.
The metal stays glorious.
Right.
Though the rubber, I guess if there was three things, there is three, kind of the rubberized things, the metal things, and the cloth things. The metal things will live forever, not live forever, but be undamaged forever out there.
Yeah, a long time.
The vinyl is an accelerated deterioration. And things made of cloth just go to totally nothing.
Right.
It's an interesting thing. So, anyway, watch out for that.
Yeah. Keeping the water off the house is important, especially, you know, one thing I've seen when I'm walking around lawns and you know, walking around houses, those little micro cracks or those little cracks in the stucco, they need to be tended to, because I've gone to a place and I looked at the crack and I came back a couple years later and the whole side of the house was peeling off.
Yeah, another reason to have gutters and keep the sprinklers off.
If
there's a crack and no moisture, we're okay.
That water gets right into that crack, and it starts getting into the wood, and then things start deteriorating at a rapid rate.
Don't I know that well? I mean, we've been involved in moisture consultations, especially on larger homes that are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to correct.
Mm-hmm.
Elevated balconies and stucco around the perimeters and all this. You're like, oh, my gracious, this is going to be difficult and expensive.
Right.
The whole idea is things got to stay dry. They got to stay dry. I had an interesting photo sent to me this week. I should post it online. Anyway, people had a new roof put on.
Yes.
And one of the issues that needed attention as a part of this re-roof was the area around the chimney chase and the flashing and all that, very common problem. For some reason, unknown to anyone except God and the knucklehead that did this, in order to assure the chimney wouldn't leak as they were rebuilding the chase, they put roof sheathing, the wood that's actually OSB, the plywood-looking stuff, in the chimney flue to stop water from coming down.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and I was talking to the guys at Chimney Chamney, how they discovered it. You know, when you do the same things all the time, you have expectation of what you'll see. Well, typically, when they stick the chimney scan camera inside the chimney, this camera, it looks straight up, and it also looks to the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, when you're looking straight up, you see daylight, because the flue goes
to
the sky, right? So the guy sticks the chim scan camera inside the chimney, and he's not seeing any daylight. He's thinking, man, something's wrong with my camera. Brings it back down, looks at the camera, you know, points it at himself, sees his head, and you're like, oh, there I am. It's all good. Puts the chimney scan camera back into the chimney and says, man, I'm not seeing daylight at the top of the chimney. Feeds it all the way up, and doink. And as it gets closer, the chim scan has a light on it also.
Right.
He sees there's a hunk of roof sheathing that's been put inside the flue.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
that's a fire.
Here's the good news. You know, the people had the chimney cleaned and inspected as part of this sort of a renovation they were doing, the roof and the other stuff. They just did it as a, it's a good idea. Let's do the annual clean and let's do the annual inspection. They had not yet used it. A fire would have lit. And, you know, what happens to the carbon monoxide? What happens to the heat? What happens to the fire? The three things that could have gone wrong is blow smoke all through the house. You can survive that. It's just a mess. Yeah. Carbon monoxide through the house. You're a dead soldier. Or third, a chimney fire. Or maybe all three. A house filled with smoke, carbon monoxide, and your house is on fire.
Yeah. Okay, you're dead, your house burned down. Okay.
And you just never know who's done what crazy thing in your home. And the guy, whoever did this, the fellow that did it, I'm sure he was thinking something good and helpful, because it took extra work to cut that piece of plywood, essentially, stick it inside the floor. It took work. He had to take off the chimney cap and put this hunk in there.
What motivated him to do that?
The chimney champion guy during the inspections, hey, this is here.
Are they the new buyer, or
it wasn't a new buyer situation. Okay, it was just a person doing good maintenance. You just never know when, unless they were trying to kill the homeowner, you know, maybe it's an ex-wife or something. But it's a reminder that you have to affirm that things are safe. You have to affirm that things are going to function in a way not to hurt you. The consequence of this was nothing. You know, the fellow from Chimney Champ was able to take off the chimney cap, took out the piece of wood, got it all back together, and said, okay, you're good to go. So thank you for that. Which is another scary thing that comes up for them, is if you have your chimney cleaned, though not inspected using a chim scan, it could be perfectly clean. We still don't know if it's safe.
Right.
It's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, no one ever dies in the landscape business, I hope, unless you run over each other.
There's a lot of people actually, you know, it's amazing how many people turn over in lawnmowers and have the lawnmowers fall on them and kill them, or fall into the riding mowers.
Yeah.
Retention ponds and drown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was growing up in New Jersey, I mowed lawns. As a kid, I mowed lawns for money in the summer, and then I shoveled snow in the winter for money. And then I had a newspaper route so I had three streams of income even then.
Right.
Anyway, I remember a story. I was a paper boy who mowed lawns.
Uh-huh.
Some knucklehead and his buddy lifted up a lawnmower and used it as a hedge trimmer. And it got one of the guys in the fingers. Well, if you and me are holding a lawnmower, each on the side by the deck, right?
Yeah.
And it chops off my fingers, I'm letting go. By definition, if I got fingers, I'm letting go.
Yes.
So that caused the other dude, it acted like a hinge.
Yeah.
So the mower fell down into his legs and stuff. And
chopped him up.
Yeah.
Well, that's Darwin's... Start with it. We're trying to thin down the population.
But it goes to the point when you're doing things around the house with, you know, power tools for the yard, power tools for the house. Got to use these tools as they were intended, or something bad could happen.
Yeah.
And it's possible these two knuckleheads they may have done this every week together for the last 5 years.
Yes.
And thought it was pretty cool. You know, probably all the neighbors were gathered around, you know. There's old Bob and Steve doing the hedge thing again. Let's go watch. You know,
let's see what's the probability.
You know, and they probably had a couple of Schmitz or Peels. What's the name of that beer? Peels?
New Jersey.
Yeah. Up in Philly and New Jersey area, you know, out trimming hedges.
Okay.
With a lawnmower. In their hands.
This seems incredible, but I mean... I'm never surprised what people will do. And if you're working in the yard and you want to improve your drain, we're talking about drainage area. You know, we have a lot of people right now with rain, and they get these puddles in there, and you want to add dirt over the top of the grass and try to, you know, you want to just do what you can do to raise up a lawn like St. Augustine or any other type of lawn is you're going to put down lawn sand. It's kind of yellow. And you've got a little puddle area, and just put up, but you can only do about a half an inch at a time.
And this time of year, it's even slower, yeah?
Yes. So half an inch at a time. So if you got an inch or 2 inch puddle, you can eventually fill it in, but half an inch at a time.
Patience.
If you do more than that, then it's going to, it will kill the grass.
Choke out the grass.
So, half an inch, and you want to use lawn sand. You don't want to use anything else but lawn sand.
Slowly we turn, inch by inch.
Those little puddles that are, you know, it's good time, it's not hot, you know, the grass will come right back in spring.
I'm with you. It's 7:50 here at News 104.5. Brief break, right back to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. 7:54 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry, now grateful that you are with us as always. Over to Orange Park, checking in with Dave, trying to help him with his toilet. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, how we doing?
We're great. Tell us about the toilet. Got a minute?
I had a supply line break. In the course of an hour, it put about 2 inches of water in 3/4 of the house. I've got an insurance inspector supposedly going to come out and inspect the house and cut me a check on Tuesday. Should I trust that insurance inspector or have an independent inspection done?
If it's 2 inches of water through the whole house, yes, you can take their initial check. What you want to assure is there's enough money to get things dried and replaced. So it's the extent of the moisture, assuring that that's there and assuring that you're treated all the way fairly.
Gold Star Adjuster.
Yeah, Gold Star Adjusters could do that for you. I would certainly allow the adjuster out.
What was the company?
Gold Star Adjusters is a private adjusting company that do a lot of good stuff. They did my house.
They're the consumer advocate.
Right. That you need to start, though, allow the initial insurance adjuster to do the adjustment and see what they come back with.
Okay. Hey, I'm also a Jersey boy.
Hey, what part?
Tom's River.
Tom's River. Used to run boats out of there through Barnegat Inlet.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dave, if we can help you on this, give a ring at the office, 268-8211, and then we'll get you in contact with the adjuster, or we can come and do the documentation for you, the extent of damage, whatever works for you. But start with your own adjuster, okay?
All right, sir.
Bye, sir. All right, Chris in San Mateo, why did they put plywood inside the flue? I'm confused. Help me with that.
This is because generally during new construction, a subcontractor has been burned by the builder.
Uh-huh.
So he'll put a barrier in there, and once he gets paid, he goes back and takes that barrier out. And I've seen masons use glass, and once they get paid, they'll go drop a brick through it, and it'll break the glass. I've also seen plumbers put foam insulation in vents.
Yeah.
And once they get paid, they go back and take it out. In fact, I built a house next to mine, and I saw the guy up on the roof with a battery-operated sawzall cutting the tops of the vent pipes off, and I said, I don't know what you're doing, because the builder doesn't pay. And he was, exactly, nothing works.
Well, Chris, your commentary, I respect and understand it, and I am aware that occurs. I left that part out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've just seen it happen so many times.
Yeah.
I left out the
idea that it was sabotage by the contractor.
Well, you know, people do crazy things, right?
Yeah, it's like the old story that the disgruntled employees at the Cadillac plant putting golf balls inside the doors during assembly. What you mentioned is a true and honest comment, that sometimes there is a dispute between contractors and subcontractors, or a dispute even with a homeowner, or a dispute that's an individual employee acting out improperly.
Do you think that this was the case in the last story that you heard then?
I don't know who the culprit was or why. It was not in new construction. It was in a re-roof.
Okay.
So,
right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't the case.
What you say is very valid. It does occur. I was concentrating on the physical and practical parts of it all, not the idea that the contractor or one of his employees intended to do harm.
And no matter what, the end result is very dangerous. So
the end result is
it could be catastrophic.
As Ronald Reagan used to say, trust and verify.
Yeah.
And it really rings true. Aside from the idea of sabotage or collusion or intent to do harm or protect payment or whatever it is, even just honest, legitimate mistakes do occur.
Sure.
And they can have consequences that are human safety. And when you start dealing with things that are gas and things that are fire and things that are electric, it's important that there's a verification like that, especially in the
fireplace. And, the guy who did the chase may have put the plywood up there, and then the sheet metal guy came back and put the cap on, never could cut the hole out.
All of those are honest and true scenarios, and the chimney champions likely saved a life.
Could have. Yeah, it's important work.
You're right, so we still love our contractors and subcontractors and people who do work, and every now and then there's an outlier.
Yes, sir.
So, Thanks, Chris.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective there, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, we're big advocates of we can never get the world to be perfect, but
yeah.
Licensed people,
yeah.
Pull improper permits, get as many checks and balances working on our side.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.